here for the plaintiff, and Attorney Gilbert Morrison has been working on this case with me. Your Honor, I'd like to first address the question that was received this week from the court as to whether the count two that was in all three of the plaintiff's complaints was addressed by the trial court.
And was it decided?
It was, to my understanding, it was not, Your Honor. Count two alleged breach of implied warranty and express warranty. And the court said that negligence per se was dismissed. And negligence per se was never addressed in the count two or in the entire complaint. Negligence per se is when a statute is violated under Michigan law, and we did not allege a violation of a statute. We definitely alleged a violation of a duty to perform their undertaking reasonably.
Well, I guess, I mean, one thing that occurred to me in looking at the record on this point, kind of again, was, I mean, the court does unequivocally, quote, dismiss the entire third amended complaint. So,
yes.
I mean, that would seem to be, that looks like an adjudication of the whole thing. I mean,
but there was never any discussion of breaching.
Yeah, no, and that's sort of like you could criticize the court for the absence of any discussion.
Not that as a jurisdictional point necessarily, but as a substantive point for us to consider as part of the appeal.
Well, anyway, why don't, unless somebody else has a question, why don't we move to the merits and why you think FABCO was an agent, among other things?
Yes. Well, FABCO was an agent because the FABCO employee testified that based on his 20 to 30 years of experience, that the express statement that this update includes all current Caterpillar engineering updates language that came from Caterpillar. Caterpillar's logo is on the work order estimate. Caterpillar, according to his testimony, developed the rebuild and provided the parts needed for the rebuild, lined out what needed to be replaced or inspected, and provided the scope and parameters of the rebuild, and the machine was assigned a new serial number by Caterpillar.
Right. That's all true. But if we look at Michigan law, there's a case, Little versus Howard Johnson Company. I don't know if you're familiar with that one. Michigan law seemed, I mean, that case specifically says, so it was Howard Johnson, and it was Howard John. You remember the old Howard, I think there's a
I do.
Business, but the orange roof, Miami Dolphins colors. And so they were, so the franchisee is using all the Howard Johnson logos, kind of similar to the logos being used here. And Howard Johnson had, you know, various standards that they had to meet regarding the condition of the premises, one of which had to do with ice. And the Michigan Court of Appeal, there was an issue about whether the franchisee is an agent of Howard Johnson's, and the Michigan Court of Appeals said that uniformity and standardization with respect to the conditions of the premises did not create an agency relationship, and instead to create that relationship, the putative principal must have meaningful day-to-day control over the manner in which they're doing the work. And so my question to you is, why isn't this like the Howard Johnson case? You have certain uniformity of like a parts list, but Caterpillar is not, according to any evidence, in this case as I understand it, Caterpillar is not supervising the actual refurb work itself, day-to-day or otherwise.
Your Honor, I believe there is a difference here. Caterpillar decided what was in the rebuild.
Right, and just like Howard Johnson said, things have to, you know, be done a certain way. What's the difference, I guess?
Because I think you said that Howard Johnson case was about ice and the condition of the premises.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's like you have to have things arranged and, you know, the premises need to be maintained a certain way. You have to have a certain appearance, certain lobby size, whatever.
But controlling a rebuild of a machine, of a vehicle, is different than taking care of premises.
And sure, and that's here, a difference, but whether it's material is kind of the question.
It goes to the very heart of the rebuild should have included getting rid of that very dangerous known condition with this vehicle, that there was a large portion of the driver's vision which was completely blocked out in the front and to the right of the vehicle, that when he's driving this huge machine, he can't see what's in front of him. And it was standard in 2010, 5 years before this rebuild, that there had to be object detection systems involved in this vehicle.
Well, there was a tragic accident.
Terrible.
And Fabco, you know, arguably dropped the ball with its redesign, but you didn't sue Fabco, and I'm not sure why. But Fabco, you know, in principle, they were only working with Caterpillar because they chose to do so to secure the benefits of the warranty. They weren't required to modify the machine in the way that Caterpillar required. They voluntarily agreed to do that because they wanted the benefit of the warranty. And agents, you know, usually work only at the direction of the principal, and here the agent was voluntarily agreeing to the standards of the principal. That feels like not a traditional principal-agent relationship.
If General Motors designed the reconditioning of a car and the auto dealership who did the work follows General Motors' design and instructions and does it General Motors' way, General Motors is responsible for having an incorrect rebuild of a machine, just like Caterpillar is here.
Is your argument then that maybe the agency relationship doesn't even matter? Like that by putting out the manual for the rebuild, they did that in a negligent way?
Yes.
And then so maybe there's a causation, did FAFO do this correctly or not, do, you know, maybe there's an intervening factor, but whether there's an agency or not, they put out the manual of how you do a rebuild in order to get the warranty and the serial number and things like that, and you have to use these parts, and when they put that out, they did that somehow in a negligence way. I'm not an expert in this by any means, but as I was looking through the rebuild specs, I noticed that some rebuild required improvements. You know, you had to like upgrade like a fire protection system. You had to upgrade some stuff about friction from the 1994 model. Other things, you were just putting in a new part, but essentially the same part. So is your argument that they were just negligent in kind of in telling people what they were supposed to do in the manual?
Yes.
But
yes,
where do you, I mean, respectfully, where do you argue that in this appeal? I mean, because that is the conduct of Caterpillar itself, the parts list for the different kinds of refurbs. And frankly, I mean, I was thinking the same point, but I just don't see where you're making that argument in your brief. I just don't.
I thought I was
or
making
the district
it throughout
court.
The case.
I mean, you are arguing that they are an agent. And that seems to be your principal argument. You also argue that they voluntarily assumed the duty, but I mean, I'm not sure how they assumed a duty that they didn't assume in this refer. But let me, I don't want to leave. Where do you argue in your brief that Caterpillar is directly liable as opposed to vicariously liable for basically its parts list that Fabco was utilizing in this refurb?
I believe I argued that throughout everything.
Give me an
exam.
I mean, I'm telling you, I really don't see it, and I want to give you a chance to prove me wrong in terms of the brief you filed with our court.
Your Honor, we argued that Caterpillar was negligent. We argued in response that
they were negligent with the original manufacturer and all that kind of thing.
And with the rebuild.
Well, tell me where you've argued. I'm just asking, where'd you argue in this appeal? I have your brief in front of me. Or you can look at counsel table during, you know, when your friend's up here. But I'm just telling you that's a concern I have. I just don't see this argument about direct negligence as to count one. Count one, it seems like you're making an agency argument.
Count one, I'm saying that they are directly negligent for not including object detection when they rebuilt them, when the machine was rebuilt in 2015. That's what it was definitely all about. Count two was about the warranty, which was breached. Both the implied warranty and the express warranty were breached. And count three was about the original product liability from 1985.
Well, on that preservation issue, I would suggest that when you have time at the council table, you can look at your brief and tell me what page you think you made that argument. I'm open to hearing where you think you made that argument. I'm telling you, I haven't seen it myself. And then as to count three, just in the time you have, that's the count, you know, about the 1994 manufacturer and so on. The question is whether that claim relates back to the filing of the complaint, right?
Yes.
And so one, we have different formulations for that Rule 15 relation back, one of which is it has to be based on a like common set of occurrence.
Yes.
It's written somewhere.
And in Judge, the trial court's January 12, 2022 order, he said there is no reason to deny plaintiff leave to amend.
But you know, leave is one thing, relation back is another. Two different parts of the rule. And so there, the district court's finding, and Judge Ludington thought it was obvious, is the word he used, is that count one concerns actions or omissions by Caterpillar in, you know, 2015 or whatever
yes.
it was. Count three concerns actions or omissions in 1994 that can't be the same transaction or occurrence. They're 25 years apart. And why do you think that's a mistake?
Well, he said, plaintiff's proposed amendment does not change the nature of the case, but rather just clarifies the allegations that he had already made in his original complaint. That's the end.
Okay, but let's say I understand he said that with respect to granting leave, or maybe it was the magistrate. Frankly, you know, the fact that you have two cooks in the kitchen here has created some real confusion as to merits decisions, unfortunately. But if we just look at his reasoning that I just recited, 25 years apart, the omissions, it's really omissions. Why isn't he right that can't be the same transaction and occurrence? They're a generation apart.
The allegations in the first and second complaint definitely dealt with the fact that the bumper was a very small bumper, very narrow, did not cover the wheels of the machine, and that was from the date of manufacture, 1994.
Right.
And the.
But weren't those claims that something then should have been changed in 2015, not that they were wrong in 1994?
The claim is that it was wrong in 94 to have a bumper that didn't cover these massive
wheels.
But
that was in your first complaint, that it was wrong in 1994?
That the bumper was negligently designed initially and should have been improved in the rebuild.
It's telling to me that in count three, the new count, you used the word manufacture. You didn't use that in count one or count two. The manufacturer makes me think right to 1994. But you didn't use that word.
Well, I think the rebuild was also manufacturing of a new product that should have been a 2015 product and not
rebuild 19... one place, manufacturer the other place. If we're looking at the statute, that would be pretty telling.
The design and manufacture of this earth hauler, both in 94 and in 2015, were negligently done. That's our allegation. And there were questions of fact about that. There was a lot of testimony about Caterpillar being involved in this rebuild.
Okay, I think you've answered his question. You've reserved 4 minutes, which is substantial. So if you want to keep 4 minutes, we're going to end now.
Thank you, Your Honor.
And we'll hear from Mr. Hunter. Thank you.
Please support. Your Honor, I think I will address the court's inquiry of a couple days ago about the jurisdictional issue.
Sure,
just briefly. I agree with the court that a judgment was entered dismissing the entire Third Amendment complaint. I think what happened here, and this goes to sort of the underlying merits of the court's decision as to count two, was confusion. This case was filed against Caterpillar based on this agency theory, but was not filed against the entity that actually did any of the work or was directly involved in this transaction. Caterpillar was completely foreign to this transaction. Had no interaction with Fabco on it, had no interaction with Carmoose.
Well, it told Fabco what it had to do a rebuild so somebody could be part of the warranty program within a new.
True.
Can I ask you, maybe this is academic to this case, but going back to the Howard Johnson case, right? Had Howard Johnson, the franchisor, given specific instructions about how to deal with the ice, like you have to use this particular type of ice melt to deal with ice, and as part of its franchise agreement. And let's say that ice melt harmed people. Maybe it harmed the employees who were distributing it, or harmed toxic fumes in the air, or harmed guests. In that kind of situation, do you think there would be enough control over the exact issue in that case that would give rise to an agency relationship that they could have sued the franchisor under an agency theory there? Or do you think maybe they could just sue directly? The agency relationship doesn't matter at all? Or maybe they can't sue Howard Johnson at all, even though they mandated if you're going to have a franchise agreement with us, you have to use this ice dump.
So,
I hope my hypothetical makes sense.
No, I understand where you're coming from. So I would say this, that in theory, I think that by exercising enough control over requirement of a specific product, mm-hmm. so the ice melt, could, if the ice melt was in fact the cause of the injury, be enough control for agency purposes. That's not what's going on here. What plaintiff claims is we should have put more things into the parameters for the certified rebuild that were not in there. So if anything, it's an omission claim as opposed to affirmatively saying you need to install cameras. We were silent on the issue. So I think that's different than your hypothetical, at least as far as this case is concerned. I still don't think direct negligence would apply to Howard Johnson's, even if it required the use of the seismo, because there's no direct connection between Howard Johnson's and whoever the putative plaintiff would be in this case, if that makes sense.
Unless the melt itself, the kind of melt, was like defective, or if the complaint was, hey, you know, the very problem here is the particular brand that you made them use, would that be grounds? Well, maybe it's...
I think it's agency.
Yeah, I hear you. I mean, it's really more
but
direct.
But that would be enough control.
I think there are circumstances where you can exercise enough control over a specific aspect of something, where if that claim arises out of that specific aspect, then there can be an agency relationship. I would agree that that's possible. Here, what we have is a rebuild parameter where Caterpillar says to the dealer and to the end user, if you want to have a machine that you can re-warrant for the next 10 years, this is the minimum of what you have to do. Nothing more, nothing less. And it doesn't involve upgrading safety technology to object detection, cameras, anything that has occurred in the last 25 years. Mm-hmm. That's all we said. Mm-hmm. So we didn't prescribe the use of object detection. We didn't require it. We didn't assume a duty for it. And that's why it's different than what your hypothetical is.
Can I give you another hypothetical? Just I'm trying to tease things out. If after the manufacturer, there's, you know the tires on this mining hauler explode if they're used too many hours in a row. And maybe there's no technology that would deal with that when you manufacture. together, you know, what do you have to do improvements of, like, give an improved part versus just the a new version of the old part. Right? Had Caterpillar not put in its manual that it you need to use the new type of and a new and improved type of tire, would that give rise to either directory negligence or an agency relationship here? Would that be a problem under your view of Caterpillar's duty?
So I would say that as far as what Caterpillar does, when we refer to these engineering upgrades, those are to address those very issues. So if there is a part that's prematurely failing, they'll substitute in a new part, and that's in the parts list that is provided.
Right. So when we do that, I'm kind of curious about what its legal duty is under Michigan law.
So under Michigan law, it has no legal obligation to fix or repair something that was not latently defective at the time that the equipment was.
Right. So if there's new technology that now we can have the tires not blow up after use too long, and they're doing a certified rebuild, and they're telling Fabco or whichever authorized dealer, you know, when you do a rebuild, you know, maybe people can pick to have these new tires, but if you do a rebuild for a warranty program, they don't have to have the new and improved tires. There could be no liability then if the tire blows up.
Under Michigan law, that's correct.
Okay.
Because
I
hasn't
just
want to
understand
to
your argument.
I mean, and this might be the trickiest part of this case. I mean, on the one hand, Caterpillar gives the parts list, you know, and
the parts.
And provides the parts. And, you know, maybe it's just a claim of direct liability, but, you know, one could say, hey, Caterpillar, you know you have a visibility problem with the, you know, right front bumper area, and you need to add additional parts. Now, it turns out that probably includes the entire cab because you got to redo all the electronics and everything. So that's the other rebuild, right? A way bigger deal. But one could criticize the limited nature of the parts list here. Maybe that's just direct liability, right? Maybe that's not agency.
It would be direct liability if Michigan law...
If there's a duty.
If there was a duty.
Yeah.
But Michigan law, there is no duty.
Yeah.
The only way that Caterpillar could be liable is by the assumption of a duty. And Caterpillar's parameters here say nothing about these object detection issues or upgrading to object detection technology. So they didn't assume a duty to install any of that equipment.
So, I mean, it would fall within the Michigan duty if Caterpillar knew that there was, at the time of manufacture, that there was some flaw, design flaw, manufacturing flaw, whatever, design with a particular part. Is that right?
Only if latent.
I mean, I don't want...
The visibility issue with these earth haulers is not a latent issue.
Yeah,
right?
No.
I mean,
I've seen these things.
It's
otherworldly.
It's like a building on wheels.
Yeah, it's otherworldly. But what was I thinking of? I don't know. But you're saying you didn't assume a duty here.
Correct.
I mean, it's quite the contrary. You know, you limited what you were going to replace, and none of those things. It would seem like it's akin to, let's say, a court determines today that if you manufacture a car without a backup camera, that's like negligence. Apart from regulatory requirements, it's just negligent because you should have that. It's a safety thing. And so then if you trade that car in and a dealer does a certified, you know, pre-owned deal, you know, where they get a new buyer gets a warranty, does Ford now have an obligation to, like, retrofit a backup camera into a 2015 Focus that doesn't have one?
That's exactly the problem with, and the reason why Michigan law doesn't require that. Doesn't require that you have to go out and update something. So, for example, you use a classic car. So somebody finds an old Corvette in somebody's garage, and they go down to the
million
auto
defects
body
in that room.
They go down to the auto body shop and they say, hey, I want this thing rehabbed, right? And does the auto body shop, is it going to put anti-lock brakes on it, or collision avoidance or a backup camera or any of the stuff that has come into being since then? Of course not. It's going to rebuild it to its original condition, which is what Caterpillar prescribed here.
Well, that answers my question. Thank you. Any other questions? All right, Mr. Hunter.
Thanks.
Thank you. Appreciate your argument. Your rebuttal.
Yes, Your Honor. This was not rebuilt to be a museum piece. To look what a 1994 Earth Hauler is. It was rebuilt to make it working daily with people around in 2015. It got a new serial number. It was warranted as a new rebuilt machine.
1994 machine rebuilt.
Up to 2015 standards. It changed the standards.
But they treated it as a new 94, not as a new latest model. That's a different rebuild.
It was rebuilt to work in 2015, and it had a known danger built into this machine.
It wasn't latent, right?
It was latent.
Well,
people
like everyone
around,
knows, I mean, anybody, people can tell, I can't see, in a certain zone. I mean, that's not...
Maybe it's obvious to the driver, but it's not obvious to anyone else that the driver is driving this machine blindly and can't see what's in front of it.
How is your case materially different from Judge Kethledge's backup camera example or Cordette example?
If the car was being rebuilt to go on the Autobahn at 100 miles an hour, it has to be able to do that safely. I don't know about the backup camera being the right analogy, but if you're using a vehicle...
Well, it's the same thing. It's like, hey, you can't see very well what's behind you. Let's say a court determines that it's negligent if you put a vehicle out now, make one now, without it. It's safe because of a visibility problem. How's that different from here?
If the windshield was blacked out one-third of it, and that vehicle was rebuilt, that safety problem has to be fixed.
It's a legal question, right? I mean, so how does Michigan law impose that duty? When Michigan law pretty clearly says you do not have a duty to upgrade, retrofit, to bring older models up to contemporary standards of safety. You just don't have that duty.
When you recall the product and have it rebuilt, you do have a duty to do that reasonably.
Well, they have to voluntarily assume a duty.
Yes, they did.
So if they
rebuilt,
if they say, look, all this refurb is doing, all we're warranting, all that we're giving a warranty for is a vehicle as it would have been in 1994. We're not purporting to do more than make this like a new 94. How is that assuming a duty to do more than make it a 94?
That is not what they did.
Is that a fact question, the scope of the duty that they assumed?
Yes, just like agency is a question of fact. But it said, they expressly said it brings it up to all the don't have it right here in front of me, but brings it up to everything Caterpillar knows. That was the express warranty on this invoice.
I mean, do you have a record site for something to that effect? Because I don't recall seeing something like that.
It includes all current Caterpillar engineering updates. That is the quote.
Okay.
And I will get you a record site. But that is the express warranty that they violated. All current Caterpillar engineering updates.
That might be
applicable.
A term.
Applicable. The next word is applicable.
That might be a term of art there. But we'll take a look at that. I mean, that's a fair point. We'll chase that down. Well, so the red light's on. Why don't you take, if you care to, you can take 30 seconds and wrap up.
I thank you for your time and attention and for realizing that the implied and express warranty count was never addressed by the court.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am. We appreciate your argument, both sides. Case will be submitted, and the clerk may adjourn court.